Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Once you've given up your bitterness against someone else, how do you repair the breach in your relationship? Many people live in a tangled web of hurt and alienation, and bridges need to be built to make things right. Today, the how-to of doing just that. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Now, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on the power of a clear conscience. We've come to message number 9, where we'll learn how to go about reconciling broken relationships.
I'm sure you have noticed that sin always divides people, it never unites. Sin separates us from God, it separates us from one another, and it even separates us from ourselves. I feel sorry for some of you who grew up in homes where there were all kinds of injustices. Perhaps there were addictions and unfairness and harsh discipline. And never were these issues resolved. It was not as if, you know, this happened and there was forgiveness requested and granted. You just kind of all shoved it down and pretended that everything was okay when it wasn't. Jesus, in the 5th chapter of the book of Matthew, said this. Today's message is going to be on reconciliation with broken relationships, of broken relationships. But I want to just simply read a very brief part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, and I'm actually going to pick it up here in verse 23, where Jesus said, "So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and first be reconciled to your brother, and then come back and offer your gift." Jesus is saying that if you bring, you know, even a sheep perhaps to be offered and the priest is about to kill the sheep, or you bring some other offering to the Lord and lo and behold, you remember that I'm out of sorts with somebody, leave it there, leave the gift there, the sacrifice, and go and be reconciled and then come. Imagine for a moment what Jesus is saying. He is saying that reconciliation precedes worship. That if you really want to worship in God's temple, or for that matter, in God's church, what you need to do is to understand that these human relationships may get in the way and they need to be taken care of as best you can take care of them. And then you come to church to sing the praises of God. There's something else that I need to warn you about in this message, and that is this. This is the most difficult message in the series of 10 messages. The power of a clear conscience. This happens to be number 9. And what a message it is going to be. Under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, some of you are going to have a huge, difficult time with this message. Because the Holy Spirit is going to bring to your mind things that need to be resolved, and this is not easy. The Apostle Paul said in the book of Acts, chapter 24, verse 16, he said, "I always seek to keep my conscience free of offense before God and before others." Before God is quite easy. You know, you come before God and you confess your sin and God's not telling anybody and he knows all about you anyway. But to go to others, now we're talking about flesh and blood. Now we're talking about history. Now we're talking about self-justification and all of those things. It's going to be very difficult. So difficult. But I think we should pray right here and ask God to grant us the strength and the ability to be obedient to whatever he shows us. Would you do that? Father, I pray that this message might be as clear as I'm able to make it. I pray, Father, that you'll give me wisdom to speak it well and clearly. But at the same time, Lord, we know that there are many issues that will be raised, and your people need wisdom in resolving them. Would you grant us, Father, a spirit of obedience and learning, that this might be transforming and that your people would be set free? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, where do we even begin? I mean, I'm thinking, for example, I began this series by telling you about a man who fathered a child in his college days, and that child is growing up in another city. His wife doesn't know, his kids don't know, and he wants to worship God. But there it is. There it is. What does he do? I think, for example, of a true story, though the names are totally fictitious. Fred marries Anne. Anne has an affair that she carries on the early years of their marriage. She's convicted. She breaks it off. She tells her lover, whom we shall call Frank, that she is going to tell her husband. Frank is very, very upset because he and Fred are actually friends. So they ask me the question, what do we do? First of all, yes, Fred is finding it difficult to forgive, though it seems as if their marriage is going to make it. But now the question is, does Fred call Frank? And what is that conversation going to be like? Many different issues. I think, for example, of my own counseling experience when I was in the presence of a couple where the wife had to confess to her husband that their third child was not his. Wow. You remember the words? Was it Walter Scott who said, "What a tangled web we weave when first we choose to deceive"? Today we're talking about those tangled webs. Now, I know that this message is going to scare up a lot more rabbits than I am able to shoot. By the time I'm finished, you're going to have questions and say, "Well, what about this? What about that?" And you're going to have some legitimate questions that maybe I'm not able to answer. Maybe somebody else can help you answer. And ultimately, God has to give you the wisdom to answer. But I am going to try to give you principles that apply Scripture to your particular situation. And because of that, I'm going to be very direct. I'm going to use illustrations to help us. And at the end, I'm going to call for our obedience. You know, there's another passage we won't take time to turn to because you probably know it well in Matthew 18, where Jesus says, "If your brother has something against you, go to him. If that is unresolved, bring somebody else with you. Tell it to the church." And there are steps on reconciliation. And I'm not going to go there exactly today. I'm going to talk about those kinds of principles, but I'm interested in their application to life. And life is often messy. Are you ready for the principles? Number one, sins of the heart should be confessed to God alone. Sins of the heart should be confessed to God alone. Wouldn't it be a terrible world if we all said what we thought of one another all the time? And can you imagine the fiasco? You know, I'm just thinking, you know what I thought about you last Wednesday? Let me just tell you what came to mind. What a mess. Thank you that the blood of Jesus Christ covers all sin, and there are many sins that need not be confessed if they are sins of the heart. Now, if you have a poisoned attitude to somebody, you can't say, "Well, you know, it's just my thoughts." You may have to confess that attitude, but there are plenty of things that go on in our minds that need to be left with God. Sometimes it is okay to let the sleeping dogs lie. Second principle, sin, an offense against a person, should be confessed to that person. Now, because the marriage relationship is the most sensitive relationship that we have on earth, let me talk about that. Here's a man, for example, who commits adultery. Does he have to confess to his wife? The answer is yes, or she to him. Does the man who fathered a child, does he need to eventually sit down with his wife and say, "I need something, there's something that I need to tell you so that my conscience is free of offense before God?" The answer is yes. Private addictions should be confessed. That rupture the marriage relationship, whether it's drugs or pornography or any other kind of addictions or stealing, as I've had in some of my counseling situations. Now you say, "Well, are there times when you shouldn't confess?" And the answer is yes, I believe that there are times when you shouldn't. For example, if the relationship is already so frayed, so tenuous, if the relationship is so weak and it is already falling apart, then perhaps it is best to confess it to someone else, to a pastor or a counselor, because you may not be ready in order to be able to straighten out that relationship. Timing, therefore, is important. Or what do you think of the man who just before he dies confesses to his wife, you know, 15 years ago I had this affair and now I'm dying and now I need to get it off my chest so that I can have a clear conscience when I enter into eternity. Well, thank you very, very much. How wonderful of you to have a clear conscience. And you dump this now on your wife who has to process it alone for the rest of her life. That should have been confessed when it happened so that the two of you could process it together, because these things take time. The rebuilding of trust, the whole fabric of the marriage is destroyed. And you can imagine how that affected their marriage, and on and on and on it goes. But he's free now, supposedly. But what about her? I think he'd have been better off to confess that to a pastor or someone else and leave it there rather than put that on her and then die a couple of days later. Timing sometimes is important. The relationship, that if it's fragile, that also is important. But nonetheless, when the relationship is strong enough, these hidden things must, at the right time, in the right way, through counseling usually, they need to come out and they need to be dealt with. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. I think you understand the fact that these messages deal with the nitty-gritty problems of human relationships. As a matter of fact, this message is part of a larger series entitled The Power of a Clear Conscience. So the emphasis is how to clear our conscience before God, but also how to clear our consciences before others. And that's been the emphasis of the message that you have just been listening to. Of course, there's more to this message, and that's why it will be so important for you to continue to listen so that you get the entire teaching. But I'm also burdened for your friends, for your children, for your relationships. There may be people whom you know need this message and these messages. That's why at the end of this broadcast, you're going to be given information as to how these messages can be yours. Because let's never lose sight of the goal that I had in my mind when I preached these messages. The scripture talks about the fact that the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience. And I might say that all those items are related. You cannot have a pure heart if your conscience is not good, if your conscience is not clear. Thank you so much for listening. And if you want to communicate with us, go to moodymedia.org. That's moodymedia.org. And while you're there, look around, see what's available through our ministries, and we'll continue to minister the gospel.
Erwin Lutzer, introducing Reconciling Broken Relationships, the 9th in a 10-part series on the power of a clear conscience. Next time on Running to Win, more advice on when to confess past wrongdoings to another person. This series will be sent on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about the power of a clear conscience. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.